I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up? It's podcast time. The name of the show is The Alt in Our Stars. It's Billboard's weekly alternative music themes podcast. My name's Chris Payne. I host this podcast. Each week I have what I hope will be an interesting conversation with somebody in the world of alternative music, and this week's is with the band Modern Baseball. They have a new album out called Holy Ghosts. It's one of my favorites so far this year, and it's gotten them a lot of attention. Like, they were telling me when they came through the Billboard office, they had just gotten a little write-up in the New York Times. Big deal for those guys. They deserve it. The album is very, very good, and it debuted actually at number 53 on our album charts. And yeah, that's definitely the highest position they've had yet. Band very deserving of this attention, who basically just started off as a DIY, doing everything themselves sort of punk band in Philly, at Drexel, where they went to school and met. And they're moving onwards and upwards, and they did a great job, really, with a lot of the heavy subjects manifested on the album, especially Brendan, one of the two singer-songwriters in this band, recently got over abusive things like alcohol, marijuana, cutting. This was during the time of the album being made. They had to cancel some tour dates, gather themselves, and it's really all in the lyrics that he wrote for this album and the songwriting, and we talked about that on this podcast. Although, honestly, with the most of this show, there was actually a lot of joking around. Throughout most of this, we kept it pretty silly about all sorts of topics. If you're really into this Modern Baseball album right now, this will be right up your alley, and if not, I hope it's a good introduction to the band. So that's what I have to say about this episode. And we've been doing the Alt in Our Stars for about a year and a half now, so there's plenty of old episodes to dig into in the archives. Last week I did one with Intuit Over It. In the past, had bands like Beach Slang, Potty Mouth, Candy Hearts on the show. To get to those, you can search the Alt in Our Stars in iTunes. You can go into the podcast app on your phone, search for the Alt in Our Stars there. Or if you're on billboard.com reading the story, listening to the podcast through the website, just go to the bottom, towards the bottom of the post in the last paragraph, there's a link where you can go and you can listen to all the archived episodes and also subscribe to the podcast, get it automatically every single week, and also a star rating, which just really helps with everything we do at the show. So thank you for listening. This is the band Modern Baseball on the Alt in Our Stars podcast. Enjoy. This is a full band episode, so let's go around and just introduce yourself and say what you play in the band of Modern Baseball.
My name's Sean. My voice usually sounds like this. I play drums.
My name's Jake. My voice sounds like this. I play guitar and sing some of the time.
Jacob.
Just kidding. It's like this version.
Hi, I'm Ian, and I play bass and stuff.
I'm Brendan, and I play guitar.
Yeah, so we got the gang all here. And it is almost exactly a week since the new album came out. When the podcast drops, there'll be a couple more weeks. But for this conversation, at this moment in time, 6 days since Holy Ghost came out.
Woo!
A milestone. A big milestone.
We made it this far.
Yeah.
No one died.
No one died yet.
So you guys played a record release show that we were just saying my alma mater covered very well for the school newspaper. Shout out to the College of New Jersey.
Woo.
You guys played down in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Record release show that I hear went over really well. How was it?
It's a blast.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite shows I think we've played.
Yeah.
A lot of bands.
A lot of friends.
Yeah.
A lot of bands.
Very late set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sleepy day.
In the wonderful town of Asbury Park.
Yep.
Great place.
Mm-hmm. They got a beach.
Yeah, or so I've heard.
It was chill.
Yeah, shout out to the Wonder Bar.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they had to cancel Yappy Hour. They usually have Yappy Hour on Thursdays, but it was inclement weather, so yeah.
Okay.
They didn't want the dogs to, you know, not be chill.
We were told that Bruce Springsteen was going to make an appearance during our...
Springsteen.
Going to make an appearance during our set. I was looking for him. Maybe next time, hopefully.
Maybe he was incognito.
That's true.
Because he knows he's going to have, like, just sudden, like, every single news outlet in New Jersey swarming on there. Just, like, sometimes you just got to lay low.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, at one point I looked over at Sean, and he looked a little different. And I, you know, that makes me wonder, maybe that was Bruce put on a fake beard just so that he could, you know.
Enjoy the
incognito.
Gig.
Incognito. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my drum student. He's coming along.
Did Bruce even ever have a beard? I'm trying to think, because I...
Yeah.
He did?
80s beard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with the...
The scruffy one.
Yeah.
Okay. Because at first I was like, wait, did he ever have a beard? Because I feel like he'd, like, pull off a really good beard.
Yeah.
But yeah. And a goatee, too, at some point. That was
Bold
a little
move.
More questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was late 80s Bruce, and... No, you don't want to talk about
we
that.
We don't talk about
yeah.
that.
But like late 70s, like
only
born
80s
USA
Joel.
Era.
Yeah, scruffy. Yeah, a little bit of scruff. But yeah, so the record release show went really well. You said it was late. What is it? I guess there's no like time curfews in Asbury.
Guess not. We just wanted all our friends' bands on it, so we had a lot of bands, and we got on stage at like 11:15 or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we also just got back from some shows in Europe where every show was only with three bands, and we would get done at like 10:30 every night. So we were in our baby mindset of...
We're all babies, is what we're trying to say.
Big babies.
Because I would think Europe shows would go later, or maybe just because everyone, like, there's just always after parties or just the next stop.
Well, that's the thing, is that we always have to finish before the dance party starts.
Yeah, awesome.
Dance party.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of, like,
for some reason,
after show parties. Plus, everyone has to take the bus or train, so promoters make the shows a little bit earlier. So
okay.
They can catch last train.
Yeah.
So they have really weird bills where they'll have, like, a punk band play, and then they just like get rid of that crowd, and like a dance party happens. Or it could be the same people, but is that what you said? Dance?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm trying to think of what usually
they
happens.
Usually
everybody leaves.
Yeah, they usually usher people kind of out, or at least to the bar area, and then they start the dance party, and everybody leaves, and a whole new crowd comes in.
Yeah.
Dancers, if you will.
Dancers, yeah. They love dancing.
Which, thinking about it now, is the exact same thing they did to us at the Roxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that Kevin Hart and Drake could appear.
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
I thought there was. No, I was going to say
that. They were just there.
No, there was one other guy who was there.
Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy.
Yes. Spotted in the parking lot.
Yeah.
He was there for our gig, though.
So sick.
That's crazy.
Loves Knuckle Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't there for this, but my friend said 1 year at Bonnaroo, he was just standing by Ron Jeremy. And felt so bad for him because people just wouldn't stop going up to him and bothering him and, like, asking for pictures. And he just could tell he wanted to enjoy the performance of whatever it was.
Damn. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Ron Jeremy supports the scene.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So let's play a little bit of the new album. Toss in some music so that people can hear. This is Mass off the Jake side of the album.
My baby's in Massachusetts, and all this blues is useless. Sunsets in my scratch outs, I am so asleep. And the cashier here is ruthless.
Side A, the Jake side. Side B, the Brendan side. I want to talk about both sides and talk about the inspirations, because I know some important, heavy subjects went into the making of both these sides. So take me through your side and what it was like putting it together.
So I wrote a lot about... It's a lot about my grandfather dying, which happened a few years ago before I wrote any of the songs, which was kind of weird. But then also, I had... Whoa, dude. And then also, when I started writing the songs, I had just started a new relationship. So there's a lot of that tied into it, and kind of how, like, when you start something new with somebody and you are learning about each other, then you kind of, like, dig up some junk from your past that you weren't really thinking about.
So from yours or theirs?
I guess kind of both. Mainly mine, for the purpose of songwriting.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it was kind of like meeting somebody new, feeling in love, but also, like, digging up a whole lot of, like, telling stories to somebody about yourself, and then you realize, like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that one thing in a really long time, and then you write a song about it. So, yeah.
Huh, because I was going to say Mass sounds like kind of a breakup song.
I guess it's got a definitely less positive vibe, but that one's mainly about being far away from somebody, and then not only that, but like just having a really bad day in upstate New York, and just how like that sucks. But
it's cold up there.
Not breaking up, dude. We don't like it.
Except not for fans. Quags.
Except Quags. Yeah, Quags is cool.
Yeah, so it's obviously difficult to maintain a relationship while in a band touring, but you're still together, so that's great.
Yeah, it's chill, it's cool. It's kind of, with that situation in particular and other ones, it was nice because we both tour, so even though we're apart, we can like commiserate with one another. And it's not like one of us is on tour and one of us is just like really bored at home doing nothing. So it's chill. But upstate New York is not cool.
What about the rest of you? Are you in relationship, single?
We all have partners.
Oh, okay. So all maintaining relationships on the road, doing things.
Yeah. Luckily we've all found people who are pretty cool and understand what it means to go on tour, and we all kind of work around the totally being away for like 5-6 weeks at a time, but yeah, luckily with cell phone technology, it's easy to keep up communication even when you're away.
Shout out to your data plans.
T-Mobile.
I mean, that used to, back in the day more, that used to be kind of a thing where if you were texting someone a lot or calling a lot and they were had like a different carrier, it would be like, kind of want to date someone with like AT&T. It would be that kind of thing.
When the first cell phone I got on my own, I only had 200 texts per month.
Whoa. You gotta ration those out.
Yeah, and I remember literally rationing them. It was weird.
I remember like my first like breakup, like 7th grade or something, like, or probably
rough
sooner
time.
And like being like, no, I didn't have any text messages, so it was like 10 cents text message and being like, oh, I got to get this out,
and it was
in
a text
as
breakup?
Little text as possible.
Oh my god,
that's awesome.
The origin of the 140 characters.
If
you go too many, then it starts a new one.
Second message.
Scary times.
Yeah, but it seems like, you know, probably all you guys be on the same page, all being involved with someone else kind of helps the dynamic.
Yeah. That's cool. We all are learning from each other and our relationships and our families and friends and enemies. Just kidding.
Mostly enemies.
We have many enemies. Foes, if you will.
Foes, yeah. Faux pas.
And it sounds like you're with someone who's in a similar situation, so that probably helps things too. Yeah. So you said your grandfather passed, it was several years ago. Mm-hmm. So had this popped up on other modern baseball records, or was this the first time?
I honestly don't think that it did, even though when we wrote You're Gonna Miss It All, I think that was like right after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
what about Going to Bed Now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was definitely it. But then again, now thinking back, I was in like a really complicated relationship at that time. So I think that was kind of overwhelming the songwriting process. But yeah, I didn't really talk to anybody about it or like think about it really. And there were a lot of aggravating aspects about it, like within my family. So I just kind of.
I see.
Tucked it away. For a while. Bury it deep inside. But yeah.
With the opening track with Holy Ghost, is like that what you're singing about?
Yeah, pretty much. That was that song's basically me realizing that I was finally thinking about it. Mm-hmm. In a like significant way. And I was like, oh damn, here it comes. Oops. So yeah.
Yeah, like what was he like? What's he mean to you?
He was really important to me. My family is super, super duper family oriented, and that like, when I was in school, it was like, be home for dinner at 5:30 every day, and we see the extended family like once a month, and then we see like, my mom's extended family once a month, like very rigid. But also because of that, I fostered a lot of really. Incredible relationships with my grandparents and my aunts and uncles and stuff. And then also everyone in my family is like hyper religious. Like that grandfather's a minister, my other grandfather's a minister, my mom's a minister, just like a bunch of those. So then there was like also church tied into all of that stuff. So then it was really weird whenever he got sick, because that was the first time like it almost seemed like the first time anything had gone wrong in the family, like, ever. So it was kind of jarring in a way. And then when he actually died, because it didn't take that long for him to be sick and then die. But when he actually died, it was, like, still kind of a surprise and didn't really feel real. So, yeah, it was just, like, a generally surreal experience that I didn't really process for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really cool. He rocked.
Yeah. Yes, shout out.
Shout out to Grandpa.
Shout out to Grandpa.
Papa.
Shout out to Grandpas.
Yeah, yeah. Many.
And,
all over.
And old people who don't have grandchildren.
Old people in general.
Old people in general. People. The single old people out there. All my single ladies.
So when you wrote your songs, do you like write them first on your own and present them to the band? How does that work?
Yeah, me and Bren both kind of go into hibernation mode temporarily and churn out some songs, and then we'll like do a cell phone demo or something and eventually show it to the other guys. And then this was the first record where everyone wrote their own parts on top of those songs. So after we would do like the acoustic version just on our own, we would show it to Sean and Ian, and Ian would like come up with the bass part, and Sean would come up with the drum part, and then... You got a song.
Boom.
Chalo, you got a song.
So let's play a little bit of Holy Ghost for the listeners.
Trying to turn on the light. He's been haunting my dreams, all right. I've been hollering at him in the dark, trying to find the right switch. Yeah, my third wish. It's always been three more.
Yeah, so Brendan, I think with your side, I think Just Another Face, it's my favorite track on the album, and I feel like a lot of what you were probably facing with them really comes together on that song. So, like, take me through that one and how that came together for you.
Honestly, I don't remember. It's the last song I wrote for my half of the record, and I knew I wanted it to be longer than the rest of them because it's kind of like you just said. besides that, I just kind of wanted to go through phases of understanding and self-worth, I guess. So there's like the beginning, which is kind of like mutilating in a sense, and then there's the bridge where it's kind of like a maybe this isn't like that, and almost like a sense of hope, and then the end, the choruses are like my friends talking to me. It's third person, so.
Mm. The with you all the way parts?
Yes. It's all the same. It's time to confront this face to face. I'll be with you the whole way. It'll take time. That's that. I'm not just another face. I'm not just another name. Even if you can't see it now, the crowd of what's to come.
Yeah, so just like, how do you feel? You feel good from what you've been through and like getting over, like, you know?
Definitely not over anything.
No.
No. It's definitely not something that, like, I. Yeah. Definitely feel really good. I mean, my fam here in Mobo have been with me and we've been taking it on. Definitely a struggle every day, but it's something that going into treatment definitely helped prepare me for, and just the touring sense of everything and the normal sense of everything, yeah. I guess. But yeah, I feel good. Every day is a day.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, with dealing with like anxiety and depression and alcohol, I know Cam from Sorority Noise is like gone through a lot of that too, and like I saw them perform once, and like he talks about it, and just like right before the last song was like a big uplifting moment with the crowd, and you guys played with them at the Asbury show, right?
Forever. Yes.
Yeah.
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 They basically were a band.
Yeah.
We started that band. It was like a label thing. We were like
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We got this guy Scuff. He can rip on guitar and he's hot. We need a singer.
And we did it to sell clothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we sold the band to Spin Media. I mean, to Cam.
Buzznet. It was Buzznet, actually.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, we've known Sorority Noise for a really long time. They're really great friends and peers of ours and definitely inspire us to be louder.
And you live with Cam, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Roommates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how has he helped you get through things?
He's honestly a giant sack of... I'm kidding. I mean, Cam and I's relationship is much like Jake and I's relationship in the sense that there's, like, moments where we kind of, like, engulf each other to get us through things, and then there's moments where we won't talk for weeks because we know that that's what each other needs. So definitely a really good give and take with Cam. So yeah, solid roommate. He likes doing dishes but only cooks with oil, so give and take, like I said.
What's the thing he's been doing?
Eating ice.
Eating ice. The word that he learned on the cooking channel. about like when you cook something in a bunch of different pieces instead of putting it all together.
Yeah.
It's like dissected or something.
Deconstructed.
Deconstructed, yeah. Deconstructed PB&J.
Deconstructed.
Or it'll just be like.
He did come back from like someplace. I'm assuming it was Joe's because he doesn't really shop anywhere else with honey roasted peanut butter.
Whoa.
Yeah, they take like. He was like, yeah, they took the peanuts, and I just assumed he meant they opened a bag of Planters and dumped it into like a peanut crusher and then gave it back to him.
Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, it was amazing. He's like, the actual thing he said, it was amazing to see my peanut butter made.
What an inspo.
Yeah, Cam's great.
Is it just you two?
No, it's me, Cam, our light technician, Zach Ickes, and who is Cam's Jacob. And then my other Jacob, all of our other Jacobs, Jacob Overholt, who's our tour manager.
He has a first name.
Supposedly.
That's what I heard.
He's called Overholt?
Ovi?
Ovi.
No, actually the latter. We call him Holt.
Yeah. Holt.
Yeah.
Scott, you gotta latch on to one of those syllables. Yeah. That's just how it is, and the one sticks.
It's a great last name, I gotta say. It is really powerful. Sounding last names I've ever heard.
Yep. Born out of the metalcore scene of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And do you still live in the Drexel area? Or I guess it's for everyone. Because they used to all live together, right?
We've never all lived. We've all lived at the same place. I don't think it's kind of like. We've like various times different groupings live together, but we've all left that area now.
Okay.
We're different parts of Philly.
We've all lived with Overhaul at one point.
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Damn. Dude, it's a
he
treat.
Moved in when I moved
he
out.
Doesn't live with you. It's like when he lives with you, it's like he's not there.
Yeah.
It rocks.
Yeah. And every now and then you see him and you're just like,
wow.
Wow.
This is uplifting.
What a guy.
Well, you guys live in kind of the same neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we live in the same area.
Sean's moving.
That's right.
But closer to you.
True.
So.
But I'm moving closer to him.
Yeah. Wow. See?
Look at
crazy.
That.
Ian, not moving at all. Stubborn.
You got a good deal, though.
I got a good thing going.
Yeah, because I thought you guys all, at some point, kind of sort of lived together. Because I read about the house nicknamed Michael Jordan, read about fantastic Fader piece profile on you guys. So shout out to that. Check it out while you're listening to the podcast. Glance at the pictures and then read it afterwards. So learned a lot from that. But tell me about what this house Michael Jordan was like and how the band kind of fostered there.
Sophomore year of college?
Yeah, it started... Jake and my sophomore year of college, we needed a place to live.
Yep.
Because we didn't want to live in the dorms anymore.
And we wanted to have shows at our house.
We wanted to have shows, and it was really cheap rent.
Yeah.
When we walked there to check it out.
Well, cheap as in, I know at least my parents were paying my rent at that point.
Yeah. And there was a band practicing across the street, so we're like, well... This seems cool. There is a big basement.
Yeah.
And enough rooms for everyone.
Yeah.
So,
Our first, the record release show that we had for our first full length, we had there in the basement. And that was fun. And then, whenever we first got those actual vinyl records in the mail, they were, shipped to that house. And we, told all our friends. And that night that we got all the records, our friends would just, for a couple hours, just show up and knock on the door and be like, hey, here's $10. And we would give them a record. And we always had band practice there. Brent slept on the couch for a while.
And then just became a resident.
Yep, upgraded to a full room.
Then I moved out. Sean moved in.
Yeah. Me and Overholt shared a room for a while.
Yeah.
That's what a whirlwind of a year that was. Being 22 and sharing a bedroom.
Yeah.
Or 23.
Backyard was AstroTurf, which was a selling point for the landlord whenever we moved in.
Then the weeds don't grow. And
right,
because
the weeds don't grow.
Weeds.
But that was a lie.
Yeah, the weeds the weeds grew.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
It's like bamboo or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
MJ was great.
MJ was great.
How did it get that name?
We had this friend named Will Lindsay.
Not a friend anymore.
Yeah, no longer a friend, ex-friend. And we hadn't found a house yet, but he lived, I think at that time he lived in the treehouse. And everybody was like moving into houses and naming the house like IHOP or like the treehouse or the, you know, the whatever.
It was the same way at TCNJ.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But he had this idea that was like, somebody should start a house that's not like the something, but name it just the name of a person, like Michael Jordan. Not like the Michael Jordan or Michael Jordan's house, just call it Michael Jordan. So like, where are you going? I'm going to Michael Jordan. And then we stole that idea.
Yep. And he had totally forgotten about it by the time we used it.
Yeah. It was sick.
I feel like there was a good crying Jordan joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It was pre-crying Jordan.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it must have been like a year before.
Did
I miss something? I don't know.
It's like an internet meme. It's a meme. Of like him when...
He's crying.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's
when he won
sad.
The I think it was one of the championships.
Oh, and the first show we had there, the admission that we charged was you had to bring like one printed out picture of Michael Jordan, and we just like taped them on
the wall. Actually a great idea.
Yeah.
Did anyone bring I guess not. It was pre crying Jordan.
Yeah. Unless... People made some funny things though. There was one guy who made one that was like it's the famous shot of him dunking, but instead of the basketball it's his own head. And his head
that's, and that's basically how the meme is used.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
Huh.
That one's really
huh.
The origins.
Because now I feel like if you did the same thing, it would just be like half basics thinking they're funny, bringing like variations of crying Jordan.
Right.
Or someone just brings like Wizards Michael Jordan to be edgy.
Yeah. That rocks. Wizards Michael Jordan. I was driving through Strawberry Mansion yesterday, and I saw some guy walking around with a Wizards Michael Jordan jersey. And I was like,
have you seen the split tees?
What? Oh, yeah.
It's Bulls
and Wizards. Oh, wow. That's wild.
Yeah, I've had most of those things. Different parts of my life.
Yeah, we talked about songwriting. We should talk about drums and bass. Because read up a little bit that the process was different from this album. You guys did it as a team and wrote all your own parts for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sean and I worked really hard on this record to basically make our parts work together kind of as one thing. Basically, just stay tight. Be the rhythm section.
Be rhythm, if you will. Be in the pocket.
Yeah, emphasis on the section. I feel like we were in the section.
That low end.
The low end, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, as...
60 hertz kick drum.
With the last two records, it was kind of just, like, these guys taking their songs, and then Jake was kind of, like, the instrumentalist. Mm-hmm. So we would kind of, like, before we'd get into the studio, we'd kind of already have... Jake would have, like, in the basement made a little full band demo.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, we just actually got into a room and jammed stuff out.
And when did... Because the album came out this year. How long ago did you actually write the songs? Week, I should say. I said this year.
It was halfway through September going into October.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were pretty much written in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Jake had a few, like, ones that we had beforehand that we had kind of jammed out a little bit, but for the most part we had jammed things out.
Yeah. It was like straight. A lot of it was the drums were in like everything was set up as if we were going to do a live tracking, and then like we'd jam, and then eventually we'd be like, all right, this is pretty good, and then like Brendan would be DI and go to the other room, and then me and Ian would play together or something like that, or depending on the song it was different. But yeah, it was just kind of run and gun.
It was fun.
Yeah, and with the things you guys were writing about on this album, what was it like presenting your lyrics and the songs to the rest of the band for the first time? Was that like kind of a daunting task at all?
No.
No. It was kind of... It was weird because our whole... I don't know. We've gotten really comfortable with being really honest in our lyrics. And I guess it was just kind of weird to, like, get to this point where we're writing about more serious stuff but still being really honest. So I don't think we even realized till, like, after the fact that it was, like, more serious, but we had already said everything.
Yeah.
But
because it's, I mean, you guys, I can tell, very tight. And you guys experience life together, and then like people like me who read about it and like hear about it, it's, or read it in the songs and stuff, find out like a year later.
Yeah, you're get with the times, man.
I mean, we had publicly said though that like we canceled the shows.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it was like from the beginning. Okay. It wasn't really just us.
Yeah.
Even though obviously it was, but like, yeah.
So
maybe it was more reassuring to actually share with listeners like what you went through, instead of just like saying like, oh, we went through this and we were canceling dates for this, in like a statement kind of way.
Yes, but I don't think it was ever like the intention of writing Holy Ghost.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't necessarily like we canceled all these things and we're like, okay, it's time for us to write a response album. Necessarily, it was more so like we were all like keeping up with each other during everything that was going on. I feel like honestly, the more surprising aspects lyrically were your half.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like. None of us were really surprised by anything, and we knew we were going to, or we knew we had a pretty open record on our hands, so we were just hoping no one picked on us.
Yeah, and they haven't.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, and Brendan, like getting through rehab and getting through things, and like being back on the road. Do you think it kind of helps being on the road, being around the band, to like stay, you know, on top of things?
Yeah, first it wasn't a rehab, sorry. I just don't want people thinking I went to rehab.
Okay.
It was an outpatient treatment program that I did for, that was a long time. almost 5 weeks, a little under, with papers and stuff like that. But yeah, it's always been, at least for me, easier for us to go on the road, just because, I mean, we spend so much time together already. It's kind of just like getting us to places that have better food.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we all kind of hermit when we get home, which is like...
You guys really like each other. Yeah. Please take the time away from
right. It's such a weird thing. It's such a weird relationship to attempt to foster when you have so much time that you spend together. And
really like that word today, Jake.
Foster?
Foster.
Hey, I just foster the people. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's really because
fosters.
Drink strong.
Naughty. Live strong.
Sorry.
I don't know. It's really weird. We spend a lot of friggin' time together, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brendan, have you had like other people going through similar things now, like come to you for advice?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people and our fans have always connected with us pretty personally. So people have, I mean, even prior to everything that we're talking about now, people were already coming up to us and, like, sharing pieces of their lives with us. And hopefully we would have the time to be able to talk to them. But there's definitely been a heightened response, I feel like, since I feel like the documentary.
Yeah.
So
totally.
But yeah.
Even people just saying like I watched this thing about you guys and I cried, and like I don't even know any of you, but I don't know, it's weird. It's like a really special relationship to have with everybody.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of people before, after shows is probably when a lot of this conversation happens.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Merch table talk.
Table talk.
Hashtag table talk. And I guess venues where there's some sort of parking lot situation, that too, loading, unloading, hanging around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Are there any like moments that come to mind of like people who you've really touched or really touched you, or just like lasting conversations?
I mean, most of them are so personal. I feel like it would be mean of someone else to be like, yeah, John Deere for such and such said this to me.
Shout out.
Your mom's okay. I don't know, but, like, we have a few specific people in certain cities that, like, come to every show, and I feel, and those people, like, will bring us things.
Yeah.
Like, in Denver, for example, we have a few homies that come, and, like, they bring us some records they're listening to and, like, old t-shirts that they find at thrift stores, and, like, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's neat to see the same people over and over again and have it be... Not just have it be like, hey, how's it going? But have it be like, you know, this, and this. It's great to see you.
How's your dog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, and this happened in my life since the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
It's a really rewarding experience. It's a great way to foster relationships.
Sean.
Yeah, let's see what else. Let's play another song. We'll do an old one. This is Your Graduation. So let's have some foster some conversation about The Killers, a band that's very apparently very near and dear to your hearts.
Great band.
Apparently. Really good band.
Really I know band. Fest a couple years ago you did an All Killers cover set.
Yeah. That was this past one.
Okay, that was 14 for some reason, but 15, 2015 Fest.
Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Halloween night. But no one dressed up like Brendan Flowers.
He's got intense wardrobe.
Yeah.
You can't really, like, I don't know. If you're going to dress up like Brendan Flowers, you got to drop some money.
And it's, like, what era? Because he was, like, synth pop, then he wanted to be Bruce and wore, like, bolo ties.
Yeah.
He was all over the place there for a while.
You can't tie him down to one outfit.
You can't bolo tie him down.
You can't bolo tie him down. That was a lot of fun.
Skinny ties, probably during the Hot Fuss era.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Skinny leather ties, most
totally.
Likely.
Skinny leather tie. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. Doesn't breathe well.
I can't imagine meeting someone today wearing a skinny leather tie.
I feel like it only works if the rest of your outfit is coordinatingly
leather.
Leather.
Yeah.
And if you're in a band forming in Las Vegas in 2002.
Exactly.
No. But what makes you guys want to, of all artists, to cover Why the Killers?
It's just one. We all love that band.
Yeah.
It's a sick band.
Yeah. It's that weird, like, we're all into such different music. And, like, of course there's bands that we share, we all share love for. But that's, like, the one band that just, like, any person turns on at any point of the day, any record. I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah. Because we always, there was definitely a time on a certain tour where, like, we all loved Mr. Brightside and all that stuff forever, obviously, but there was, like, one particular tour where I remember we started listening to full Killers records, like, for the first time in the van, like, front to back. And the first couple times we did it, we were like, wow, this is actually, like, really, really good. And then we did it all the time.
Sam's Town,
yeah.
God. Even the newer records. Yeah. Battleborn.
That's so boring.
I started getting into the B-sides record. It's good. Yeah.
It's called Sawdust. Yeah. Sawdust. Yeah. It has a Joy Division cover on it.
And that song with Lou Reed.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Good band.
It's just kind of like the thing that's special about them is not only are they so theatrical and like musically dense, but also the songs themselves, like Brandon's songwriting, is really interesting. Like he says some really weird shit that rocks.
And he takes himself really seriously, which I think for someone in rock now, not maybe in the past, but now, is, like, very bold.
Yeah, totally.
Because people clown on him, but you, to put yourself out there, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's risky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so easy to just be like, nah, but I don't really care. Yeah. In case someone talks shit on you. But
exactly.
Yeah. Same with Coldplay. I read this whole article on Coldplay, and I'm like, I respect that, man. Don't be mean. trying their best.
Chris is doing everything he can.
He's doing everything he can.
And you covered a killer song at the Asbury show. So it's still a new thing.
Did we?
No.
I thought.
No, not this one.
Not this one.
I saw someone posted a set list that had, I think it was All the Things That I've Done.
No.
Oh, the intro.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a really fucking thorough set list.
Yeah, we do. At the beginning of one of our songs, we play the intro to All These Things That I've Done, and then we go into the song. So.
Wow. Yeah. That person on setlist.fm is killing it right now.
Wow. Dude, that's a thing. People bring that up in interviews all the time. I literally have never like prepared for a show by going on. Like, I don't want to know.
Well, I wouldn't think people in bands do it. Or what are you saying by prepare?
No, I mean like if I'm going to watch a show.
I see. Right. Yeah, I've never done that. I just
one tells me. Yeah. Everyone thinks it's funny. I have to go online, see what we played last night.
And hope it's the same.
It's the same. It's kind of messed up. Sometimes we're all playing four different songs at the same time.
For research, really more for research, nerding out purposes. Yeah. Although I've heard that people for like some artists will update the site during the set.
Oh, wow.
I guess it has to be a place where there's good, like, Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why you can't just, like, listen to the band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just never know, man.
Yeah, one of my coworkers who's a huge Cure fan, we were talking about the Cure's current tour and how it has, like, there was, like, four or five encores each night. And I was showing him the setlist.fm page because we're cool. And it'll have little annotations like, first performance live since 2003.
Oh, my God.
And he'll be like, yeah, people update that during the show.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Who knows?
Word. So it's just about everything I wanted to cover in this moment of modern baseball. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on?
Shout out to Joe, John, and Ryan.
Yeah, the peeps who made the record happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This was our first time working with a producer.
Oh, okay.
His name, Joe Reinhardt, and he really helped us do the whole, like, work as a band thing. So he was a really big part of it.
Cool guy.
Yes.
Cool dude. Cool, like surfing.
Okay.
Very tall.
Tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Handsome.
Handsome dude.
Yeah.
Talented
guy. Gangly.
You mean like in a gang?
Gangrenous.
Is he in a gang?
Yeah, surfer gang? Yeah, surf gang. The shark bites.
In a surf gang.
The point breaks.
Yeah, and shout out to Run for Cover Records, repped over here with some merchandise.
Wow. I think I can hear Tom Chiari in there. Shout out to Foster the People.
Sean's shirt available now, and the Run for Cover merch website, I'm guessing.
You think I paid for this?
Runforcovermercharea.com.
They pay me to wear this.
$10 an hour.
$10 an hour, that's great.
Cool, so, yeah, thanks so much for coming by. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so that's the episode. Those guys are a lot of fun. They're touring the U.S. right now with Joyce Manor, so go see them. Tell them I said hi. At top of the show, I said we have over a year's worth of episodes of the Alt and Our Stars you can check out in the archives, like this one from last week with Into It Over It. They came into the Billboard office, and we talked about stuff like this.
That is like my ultimate goal, to write music that any listener can enjoy, but people who are players can notice how fucked up the shit we're doing is. to put it bluntly, like, you know, I want people to know that we know what we're doing.
I mean, that sounds like the truth, and that also sounds really hard.
Yeah, it is really hard. That's why I gotta go to a cabin for a month.
Yeah, so that's the conversation I had for last week's episode with the band Into It Over It. If you want to get into all those archived episodes, it's pretty simple. A few ways you can do it. Search for the Alt and Our Stars on iTunes. go into the podcast app on your phone, search for it there. Or if you're viewing this article on billboard.com, just go to the last paragraph. There's an iTunes link in there. And go into all the archived episodes, some bands I've had on the show lately who I think you'd be into if you're a modern baseball person. Had Courtney Barnett on not too long ago, Beach Slang, Potty Mouth, Candy Hearts, all sorts of episodes that I enjoy doing in there to dig into. So, yeah, you can also subscribe to the podcast once you find it, however you find it on iTunes or the app or whatever. New episode runs every Friday, so you can get it automatically every week if you subscribe. And, yeah, give us a star rating. That helps so much with everything we do with the podcast and just any feedback you might have in general that can't be manifested in a star rating. Hit me up on Twitter, positive or negative. Twitter handle is cpayneonaplane, CPAYNEONAPLANE. And, yeah, let me know what you think about the podcast. I really, really enjoy doing this so much. So any feedback, if you share it with your friends, tell other people about it, I really appreciate it. So that's it. That's all I have to say.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Till next week, goodbye. Have a great weekend.